Psalms chapter 37. And we looked at Psalm 37 last week. We looked at verses 23 down to, I think it was 33, but we'll be at the first part of the chapters, kind of skipping around in this chapter a little bit. This chapter has a lot in it, and we're going to focus on verse number 7. And we'll read the first 14 verses, but verse number 7 is going to be our main focus, or the subject of the message this evening. The title of the message is Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And let's read the first 14 verses. David is writing here, and he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." If I might stop on that verse for a second, I don't know if I'll be able to remember this later, but when we delight in the Lord, and it says that he's going to give us the desires of our heart, that doesn't mean that he's going to give you every unclean or ungodly desire that you might want. If we delight ourselves in the Lord and our hearts are in tune with the Lord, our desires will be in tune with the Lord. Amen. And so he will give us the desires of our heart because our delight is found in him and not in ungodly things. So I don't know if I'll remember that later, but I just wanted to say that. He says, verse number 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay as such as be of an upright conversation." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this evening. Thank you, dear God, for your blessings upon us. Thank you for your grace upon us, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises that are contained in your word, Father. We place all of our faith and all of our trust in you and what you've said, and we believe that it will come to pass. Father, we pray that you'd open up our eyes, open up our ears, and open up our understanding to what you have said. Holy Spirit of God, lead us and guide us this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but as far as rest is concerned, I like to rest, and I believe that rest is necessary. I believe that work is necessary, but rest is probably just as important as work is. Every one of us have to work, but we also need to rest. I was thinking about a job that I had right around the year 2000, something like that. And I don't know what I was thinking whenever I went there. I probably wasn't thinking whenever I went to work at this place, but it was a trucking company over in Woodward, Oklahoma. I don't know if anybody here has ever been to Woodward, Oklahoma. It's a big oil field town over there, big booming oil field town. And this was my introduction into the oil field. And this place was called Hodges Trucking. Hodges Trucking was the name of this place. And I went to work there, and boy, I didn't know what I was getting myself into here, because those guys don't believe in rest. They don't believe in anything about rest. They believe in work, all right. They want you to work, but they don't believe too much in rest. They work 7 days a week over there. If you get in at 9 o'clock at night, that's early. Well, you got in at 9 o'clock, man, you got in early. Well, that's early. I was putting in like 90 hours a week. 90 hours a week. That's a pretty typical work week right there. I was moving. I helped on a truck, and we moved oil rigs. Now, oil rigs are those big things that we don't have any around here in Portales, but if you go over to Texas, Oklahoma, you'll see those big derricks sticking up in the air. They're drilling for oil. Well, those things don't move themselves. You have to move those. So they get trucks, and they load all the equipment up and all the pieces of the derrick and all that stuff, and they move it from location to location, and so that's what I was doing. I had no business out there doing that, but yet that's what I was doing. Well, the guys I worked with, most of them, it's just a different breed. It's a different breed of people, if you know what I'm talking about. They don't believe in rest, and if you look at them, they're my age. Some of the guys I was working with, about 45 years old, but they look like they were about 65 or 70. You look at them, they got wrinkles all over their face and all kinds of stuff. It's all of them. A bunch of them are missing fingers and eyes and stuff like that because it's just dangerous work. But my point is, the reason they look so old is because they didn't believe in rest. They're just working all the time. They didn't know anything about a day off. You get to Sunday and they think, well, it's just Sunday. It's just another day to work. You get to Thanksgiving, well, we're not taking Thanksgiving off because we've got a rig to move. Christmas, nope. Nope, we're not taking Christmas off. We need a night off with your wife. Nope, we're working 7 days a week all the time. And then they would wonder, why am I burning out so fast? Why am I getting wrinkles all over my face at 45 years old and I look like I'm 65 or 70? I used to say, I know why, because you work all the time. All the time you're working. You know, you're just stressed out, you're just overworked. Sometimes you and I in the Christian life, we can get overworked. We get worked up about things. We get to worrying about things. In our life even, we can't rest in the Lord. We're always fretting or worrying about things. That's what David's saying here. He's saying there's a lot of evil going on. There's a lot of wickedness going on. There's a lot of people out there doing wrong things, but he says, don't fret about those things. Don't worry about those things. And that's a hard thing to do because our natural inclination is to do what? Start worrying. Like that's going to change something. But it doesn't. Worrying doesn't change anything. But rest for the body and the mind is necessary. If you don't rest, you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to burn yourself out. And you won't be any good to anybody if you don't rest. When you perform excessive amounts of exercise without the proper rest and recovery, you may experience some harmful side effects, including decreased performance, fatigue, altered hormonal states, poor sleeping patterns, reproductive disorders, decreased immunity, loss of appetite, and mood swings because you try to do too much. You got to rest. Your body has to rest. Why do we need to rest? Well, I've met a lot of people in my life that think they can do it all. Man, if you've done something, well, they've done it a lot better. Boy, if you've been to the moon, well, they've been to the moon too, but they've done it twice. Boy, you've been to Mars? Well, I've been to Jupiter. You know, they've just done it all. They don't have to rest. They don't even think about rest. Then they end up having a heart attack when they're my age. You have to rest. Why? Because we're finite creatures. We have limited resources. We have limited strength. We're a limited, finite people, and we can't do it all. But I know that we have a God who does. He's not finite. He's not limited the way that we are. And so David, he's looking here, and he's looking out over his kingdom or wherever he's looking, and he's seeing a lot of things, and he's trying to give some advice to people who might be worrying or fretting about wickedness and about ungodliness is going on in his kingdom and in his context in these statements that he's saying there. He sees the wicked flourish and prosper in society in verse number 7. He says, God, you're a good... He may be thinking, God, you're a good God, but yet we see wickedness going on. And they're not hurting. God's not raining down fire, hailstones from heaven, taking them out. They're prospering as they're doing these things. He sees in verse number 12, he sees that the wicked are plotting against the just, and they're doing physical harm against good people. He sees these things. He sees the rich are oppressing the poor and the needy, and he sees that some people are having a bad reaction, they're having a bad response to the things that are going on in society, and he's giving them advice, and he's saying, don't react that way. Don't fret about the things that are going on in society. In this life that we live, there's some things that you and I, cannot fix. There's some things that you and I cannot accomplish. There's some things that you and I just cannot take charge of in and of ourselves. We might want to. Amen? You see things, man, there's some things I just want to change. I just want to do. There's some people I just wish they would do this, or I wish they would do that, or I wish government was different, or I wish this was different, or I wish that was different. But yet I can't do it. Why? Because I'm just a finite being. I can't do those things. And if I tried to, I'd burn myself out trying to do it. So David says, don't worry about those things. Don't fret about those things. Rest in the Lord, because He's in charge. Because He's the one that rules and reigns over all. How do you respond? How do you react when things are out of control in your life and there's nothing that you can do about it? What do you do? How do you react or respond in those situations? Do you go to God in prayer and say, God, I've got this problem. I don't know what to do. I can't fix it. I'm at my wit's end. What do I do? I want to rest in You. I want You to do something. What do I do? But yet we worry sometimes. I'm the world's worst worrier. I worry. And it doesn't do a bit of good. And we'll get to that here in just a second. But resting in the Lord is a state of mind. It is a matter of faith in His power, in His resources, in His ability. That's resting in the Lord. Very quickly, I want to give you four attitudes that are associated with and necessary for the child of God to rest in the Lord, because that's not an easy thing to do. Sometimes it's a lot easier just to go out there and work, isn't it? Try to do something, man, I'm going to create some action, I'm going to do something. Sometimes you just need to rest in the Lord. I've got four attitudes for you that we must have. Number one, we must have confidence in God. Number two, we must be content. It's called contentment. Number three, commitment. And number four, we need to have compassion. Those are four attitudes that a child of God needs to have if he's going to rest in the Lord. Number one, we must have confidence. Resting in the Lord is having confidence in Him and not worrying or fretting about things that are going on that you have no control about. You see in verse number 7 and verse number 8, David says, fret not thyself. Three times. Fret not thyself. What does it mean to fret? To fret means to be anxious or to worry about something. And if God says three times within 8 verses not to fret or worry, you and I should not fret or worry. Because that's what our first inclination is to do, not to fret. Don't worry or be full of anxiety because of evil men that seem to get away with the sin that they're doing. Their time is coming. Resting in the Lord is having confidence in Him. Do you have confidence in the Lord here this evening? Or do you go to your first inclination, which is to worry? We need to have confidence that justice will be served. Their day is going to come one of these days. We have all kinds of wickedness and all kinds of ungodliness that are going on in this country, in this town, in homes across America, and justice will be served one of these days. I have confidence in that. If there's not going to be a future judgment and wicked people are just getting away with things and there is no justice coming, boy, we live in a sad state. There has to be something else coming. With all of the things going on, with all of the bad things that people are doing, there has to be some justice coming. There has to be a day of reckoning, and I'm confident of that. The Bible says that their day is coming. The Bible says right here in this text, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth his day coming. He says, they don't even know, but I can see it. I see it already, and they're going to be standing before me one of these days, and they're going to have to give an account. Do you have confidence in the Lord that justice will be served? You should have confidence in that. Number two, you should have confidence that the Lord will deliver us and fulfill His promises, because God has promised to deliver us. Do you have confidence in those things? Have you ever yourself over-prepared for something? You ever in your life, have you ever thought, man, this is going to happen, you know, and I'm worried about this, and so I'm going to kind of over-prepare because, you know, I just don't have a whole lot of confidence that the Lord can take care of this, and so I'm going to kind of over-prepare because I'm all worried about it. You ever done that before? I bet everybody in here has done that before. Do you know there was a man in the Bible that did that? Jacob. He had a brother named Esau, and he tricked his brother out of his birthright, and Esau wanted to kill him, and so he ran to go live with his uncle Laban, and he stayed over there for several years. But then the Lord ordered him to go back to the land of Canaan. The Lord said, okay, it's time for you to leave Laban's house and go back to the land of Canaan. Well, guess what? Jacob had to go through Edom. He had to go through Esau's land in order to get back to Canaan. And he knew that Esau hated him. He knew that Esau was after him. Boy, he started preparing. Boy, he started worrying. Boy, he was worried sick about all this stuff. And man, he knew he might have to end up meeting Esau. So he said, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get some presents together and I'm going to send them before me. And I'm going to try and appease Esau because I just know that Esau is going to get me. He was all worried about it. Did you know that God already ordered him to go? Do you think God ordered him to go and get killed by Esau? If God wanted Jacob killed, he'd have been killed a long time ago. Amen. A long time ago. But he went and he met Jacob, and there was nothing wrong. He fell down before Esau and fell down on his face, and he said, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry about what I did. Please forgive me. And Esau said, man, get up. Get up. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. You know why? Because God had something else for Jacob to do. God had another path for him to take. Don't worry. Don't fret about things that are going on. God is going to take care of you. Don't worry about those things. So I read here about, you know, and by the way, worry can really affect your physical health. People get ulcers from worrying about things. I read I'll read you a thing here about a doctor, and I believe he's a Christian. It's Dr. W.C. Alvarez, the stomach specialist at Mayo Clinic, says that 80% of the stomach disorders that come to them are not organic, but functional. Wrong mental and spiritual attitudes throw functional disturbances into digestion. Most of our ills are caused by worry and fear, and it is my experience that faith is more important than food and the cure of stomach ulcers. Faith is more important in the cure of stomach ulcers? Belief? Yeah, that's what he said. In order to keep your commission, whatever that means, clean, you must be free from worry and fear. Worry is not merely weakness, it is wickedness. It is atheism. We're saying, well, God can't take care of it, so I'm going to worry. I'm guilty. It's atheism. It says that God has abdicated and that we have to hold the world together by our worrying. But actually, we don't hold the world together by our worrying. The opposite happens whenever we worry. Worriers wreck their world as well as their lives. Worry is a sin against God and ourselves. Cast it on Christ and His cross, and then you will live by cheer rather than fear. Don't worry about things. We must have confidence in the Lord. As you know, the verse says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 8, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about things. Be careful for nothing. And you know how the verse goes. Don't fret about what might happen or what could happen. God is going to take care of it. That doesn't mean we don't prepare for things. I understand, and that's not what I'm saying. But instead of worrying and being anxious, be confident in God's provision. And then next, be content. We must be content. Look at verse number one. Look at verse number one. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Instead of being distressed and being envious about what people are doing out there in the world, how about being content with what God has given you? Contentment. Contentment. Resting in the Lord is being content and not being envious of others. David said, I'm looking around here at this land, and people are looking around. They're saying, man, these wicked people, they're robbing people blind. They're doing whatever they want to do. They're living like the devil. They're just fulfilling their fleshly desires, and they're getting away with it. And here I am serving God and with holding my flesh from doing things it wants to do. And, you know, it looks like a lot of fun. Hey, we ought to be content with what God has given us. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous about what's going on out in the world. You know, we see things on the television and we see things on the internet and we say, boy, well, they're doing it. They're getting away with it. God's not striking them down dead, and they're having a lot of fun, and they're getting drunk, and they're getting high, and they're fornicating, and they're living together, and they're doing whatever they want to do, and nothing's happening to them. Well, I think I'll just start skipping church, and I'll start fornicating, and I'll start getting drunk, because, hey, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No, be content with what God's given you. You better be content with the Word of God. You better be content with the law of God. As a matter of fact, he says later in the verse, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Amen. Be content. Boy, it's hard to be content sometimes, isn't it? Especially when we got so much media around us. Everybody's got everything that you want, and boy, they got the life. Man, you got social media, and people are taking selfies, and their life looks so great and wonderful. Man, nothing's going on wrong in their life. I want that life. I want that career. I want that car. I want that job. I want that house. You don't know what's going on in that selfie. You don't know what's going on in that person's mind. They probably got all kinds of problems that you wouldn't want. Be content with what God has given you, contentment. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Hey, things do not bring contentment. We think they do. We think that that new car will bring us contentment. We think that that whatever will bring us contentment. The only way that you're going to find true and lasting contentment is with the Lord. Obeying the Word of God. That's where you find true and lasting contentment. Don't be envious of evildoers. We look around and we see that maybe we think they're getting away with that. But they're not going to get away with it. I'm reminded here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 11, it says, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Because they're getting away with it for right now. They think they're going to get away with it forever. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil. Well, they got a heart like a rock, and they're just going against God because they think, boy, I'm getting away with it. He's never going to catch me. I'm always going to be able to get away with it. No, you won't. No, you won't. David wrote to the Philippian believers in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14, and he was in prison. And he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned this, that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. And he was in prison, but he had to learn it. He said, I know how to be abased, that's low, and I know how to abound. In everything, everywhere, I have learned to be content. You and I need to learn to be content and not look around and see what everybody else is doing and say, man, I want that. Be content with what God has given you. Amen. Life isn't always fair. Right. Life isn't always fair. Everything's going to fade away. So be content. And then number three, commit everything to the Lord. Commit everything to the Lord. Look at verse number five. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. And he shall bring it to pass. Resting in the Lord means to be committed to the Lord. committed to the Lord. Now commit thy way unto the Lord. What's your way? Your way is everything. Your way is the way that you live your life. Your way is your desires. Your way is your emotions. Your way is just everything that you have is commitment. It's your course of life. David is encouraging here not to chase after the ways of the evil man who is doing whatever he pleases, but commit your way unto the Lord. It's a sad commentary on Christianity today that they want Christians today, so-called Christians today, want Christianity, but they don't want the commitment that comes along with it. They don't want to commit. Oh, I want to go to heaven and I want all that, but I don't want commitment. I don't want commitment. I don't want to have to do anything after I get saved. Did you know that's a foreign concept in the Bible? If you're going to be a Christian, there's going to be commitment there. There will be commitment. Christianity is a commitment. As a matter of fact, a Christianity is seen as like a marriage in the Bible. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom or the husband, and we are the bride. What kind of marriage do you have? Now, I talked to a young lady one time, and she said she wanted to get married, but she didn't want to share a bank account. She didn't want to share a house, and she really didn't want to share anything else. She just wanted to be married. I said, well, to me, that's not really marriage. Because a marriage, to me, is sharing everything, isn't it? I mean, to me, marriage, when you get married, you commit. It's a commitment. You stand before a preacher, and you make a commitment. I will do this, 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 and that's a commitment. Right there. What do you share with your wife and your husband? Do you share a bank account? You share emotions? You share a house? You share a bed? You share everything, don't you? That's a commitment. That's what Christianity is. You give everything to God. You commit everything to God. Because, by a matter of fact, the Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. You belong to Jesus Christ, and it's a commitment. So commit thy way unto the Lord. If you're not willing to commit, you're not willing to rest. You're not resting if you're not committed. You got to commit. You got to commit. As a matter of fact, the way the Bible puts a marriage here between a wife and a husband, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 4, the wife hath not power over her own body but the husband. The husband has the power over the wife's body. Now, vice versa for the husband. And also, likewise, the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Why? Because you're sharing everything. You're sharing everything. That's a commitment. That's what Christianity is. It's a commitment. We commit all of ourselves to the Lord. And by the way, we commit all of ourselves to each other, too. It's a commitment to each other. We are in a body together. Fellow believers, do you commit yourself to the Lord? Are you committed to your fellow believers? Is there a commitment there? There ought to be for Christians. But too often we are concerned with committing ourselves to a lost world and trying to live up to their expectations and their standards, and we don't commit ourselves to the Lord. If you're not willing to commit, you're not willing to rest. Christianity is a commitment. Jesus Christ requires commitment. If you read the Bible, it says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Commitment. Commit thy way unto the Lord. The final attitude that we must have for resting in the Lord is an attitude of compassion. Christians ought to be compassionate. And if you're not willing to rest, you're not willing to be compassionate to those who have wronged you. Resting in the Lord means having compassion on others. We ourselves are not the judge, jury, and executor of everything in the world. It says in verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Don't get mad and don't try to get even. Boy, that ought to hurt your ego. It hurts mine. Because what I want to do is I want to take revenge. Hey, that's what we try to do. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't try to take revenge on people who have wronged you. When we decide that we are going to be the judge, jury, and executioner of other people, we are usurping the Lord's place as the judge. If you're not willing to forgive and be compassionate to others, you are not willing, and I am not willing to rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Don't let the actions of somebody else steal your joy. Amen. That happened to me not too long ago. I let somebody else do something to me, and it stole my joy. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. Rest in the Lord. Hey, God's going to take care of that. Did you know that angry people are not well-rested people? You can't sleep very good at night when you're mad, can you? You know what angry people are? Angry people are restless people because they're always trying to get back and do something. I'm going to get back to this person. But instead of doing that, you know what we need to do? We need to have compassion on others. I know everyone here has been wronged, haven't you? Somebody's done something to you that you didn't deserve, and they wronged you. Someone's done something to me before. Oh, it's been probably about 2 or 3 years ago. Somebody did something to me at work. This guy, there was a guy over there at the nursing home. And I probably told you guys about this before, but I did nothing to this guy. I said maybe spoke 2 or 3 words to him. And he became disillusioned about me. And I didn't know it. I had no idea. And one day I went out to my pickup, and he had scratched something on the side of my pickup, a word, a dirty word. Scratched it on the side of my pickup, and I had no clue who it was. I didn't know what was going on. I went and told my boss, and I didn't know who did this, and all of a sudden I was out shoveling snow the next day, and he came driving by the parking lot with his window down, and he was laughing at me, like this kind of weird-looking laugh or weird-sounding laugh. And I was like, okay, he must have done that. I don't know why. And so I told my boss about it, and the next couple of days, he's hanging around a nursing home and stuff like that, and he said something to me as he was passing by, and I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He said, that was a warning. And I was like, okay. I went out to my pickup that day, got in my pickup, went home, ate lunch, and started coming back, and I had a flat tire. Okay, something's not right here. I went and took my pickup down to C&S, took the tire down there, had 3 puncture wounds in the sidewall. So he had stuck a knife or something through there. I had no idea. I was like, why is this guy doing that? I don't even know the guy. So I went and I called the police, made a police report and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know why, but he just did it. You know what I had to do? I had to just forgive the guy. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to take a cinder block, and I wanted to go throw it through his front windshield, is what I wanted to do. I wanted to take my fist and bury it in his face. That's what I wanted to do. But we can't do that, not as Christians. Now, if there is wrongdoing and the law needs to be called and reports need to be filed, yes, we ought to do that, of course. But I'm sure that each and every one of us has wronged somebody in some way, haven't we? And if you haven't, maybe you're that good of a person, you've wronged the Lord and you wrong Him every day, don't you? Amen. We must have compassion. And look, He's going to have to stand before God one of these days, and He'll have to give an account of why He did that. And He'll pay for it. If He's not paying for it right now, He needs to be thinking about what He did. But we have to have compassion on other people. It's not the easiest thing to do. The things I'm telling you today are not easy things. It's not something that, oh, man, that's automatic. I can do that. No. Not going to happen. Jesus Christ came to His followers. I believe He preached this on the Sermon on the Mount. And He says, love your enemies. Do good to those that use you and that hate you. Do good to those people. Love them. Have compassion on them. That's what we need to do. Have compassion. So those are four attitudes that are associated with resting in the Lord. If you and I are going to rest in the Lord, those things need to be present in our lives. What's going to happen if we do that? Well, there's all kinds of things we could talk about in this chapter, but the result of resting in the Lord is that you're going to get the things that you want and that you need. It says in verses number 9 and 11, the meek shall inherit the earth. It doesn't say the strong people. It doesn't say the cocky people, the proud people, those kind of people. It doesn't say they're going to inherit the earth. The ones that took revenge on their enemies and got a sword out and got them, It doesn't say those people are going to inherit the earth. It says the meek will inherit the earth. And as a matter of fact, Jesus Christ told his followers, the meek shall inherit the earth. One of these days, the meek will inherit the earth. You're going to get everything that you wanted. All of it, the whole earth. You want a city to rule over? You want a place? You want a place of your own? You get it one of these days by being meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. That's an inheritance that you'd get. Number two, you would have abundance of peace in your life. Verse number 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You want to have peace in your life? You want to have abundant peace in your life? Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Those are four attitudes that we need to have to rest in the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father,